Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. And now, here's your host, Rick Ingram.
Guys, welcome back to Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. The soothing sounds of me, basically. Welcome back. Been good response from people. Thanks for listening. It's going to just get better and better. I can guarantee it. Am I right?
No.
Okay. Well, it's that kind of confidence that I appreciate more than anything. My first guest today is Tina Saloudos.
Saloudos. Yes.
And that's Greek?
It is Greek.
And how far back are we talking?
My grandfather was born here, but he had a sibling who was born in Greece. Okay. So whatever that is, third generation?
Third generation, yeah. And the Greek people in general, very kind people. I had a doctor who was Greek, and he misdiagnosed me for 2 years. Do you know anything about that?
Sounds pretty on par for, yeah.
He told me that I had, I used to have really bad stomach problems. And he told me that I had intestinal migraines. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds horrible. But it explains why I throw up all the time. And then I went home, and I guess he wasn't aware that people can Google things. Because I just Googled intestinal migraines. And the first thing that came up was like, a stomach condition. It causes a variety of issues. And then the second thing was like, most doctors don't believe this is a real thing. And I was like, what did I just do? But anyway, I listened to his advice, and I took the medicine he gave me, and then I got even sicker, and eventually I ended up in a diabetic coma, more or less.
Oh, good.
Maybe not doctors is really the point I'm getting to.
Yeah, not doctors, not good with, like, money, budgeting, just generally speaking, from a high-level view.
I was worried that would offend you, but I appreciate that you brought more to the table in terms of...
Listen, I lived in Greece for, like, 3-4 months.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, I studied abroad, so annoying, like, I lived in Greece.
What do you study in Greece?
So, technically, it wasn't really much we were studying. One of our classes was like a dance class.
Yes.
So I got to lead that, which was interesting.
You were in charge of the dance class.
Well, I was like the leader on the,
you were
the
best
students.
Best of the best. Top gun.
Yes, top gun, because I've, danced at Greek Easters before. So that was really all the qualification.
I was curious to what kind of dancing we're talking about. It's traditional Greek
dancing.
Yeah,
it's like the arms and the leg, that you hear the... what do you call it? Like, they have the little bars where you, like, play Greek music and Zorba the Greek will play. That kind of stuff.
Okay. And so growing up, you got to deal with full traditional Greek.
Kind of.
Okay.
So, like, my dad's side is Greek. My mom isn't. But my sister's husband is from Greece. So she got married at 20. She's 6 years older than me. So that was like a lot of culture being brought over. And so that really sped up the Greekness at the house.
What is your mom?
Like a European mix of like English, Scottish.
So she thought she was better than everyone for sure.
Actually, I think my dad's the one who thinks he's better
is that
than
right?
everyone.
Yeah, Greek superiority?
Greek. He's also German. I don't know if that counts.
That,
or anything,
that explains
but,
it.
Yeah.
That'll do it every time.
Yeah.
The Germans are very intense when it comes to superiority.
Yeah.
Listen, there's no history that anyone can think of that proves that point, but they are a mighty people. That's for sure. The note I have about you is that you've had lots of injuries.
Yes.
What is the cause of your injuries? Is there a general theme or is it?
Well, there's like kind of different themes. Like I'm really clumsy, so there's that.
That'll do it.
I also have really bad luck for just random illnesses and ailments.
Wow.
And then I also am just... I cause a lot of my own problems. Like I would donate platelets periodically.
Okay.
And the last time I went, I had the blood returned. Have you ever donated platelets? Do you know what that's
Absolutely
like?
Absolutely not. I try not to help others.
They like pull it out and it goes through like a little machine and then they push the blood back in and they take the platelets out.
Okay. So they take the goods out
and then push the
the rest back.
Exactly. Stuff you don't want.
Okay.
And so, yeah. And so I have never had an issue. And the last time it was like just jetting the blood back into my arm. But I didn't want to stop because I'm like, I'm not a quitter. I'm just going to donate enough so they can like finish the bag and it'll save a life or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I just stayed an extra hour feeling the blood just surge back into my arm. And I had a hematoma. I couldn't lay on my arm for like 3 weeks. It was just icing it. So it was my own fault.
No, this is a classic example of why you should never do anything that helps other people because it always ends badly. That's really the message. Listen, the people at home, only think of yourself. You're not going to hear that a lot, but that's the best plan as far as I can tell. What's the best injury in terms of like, when I say best, I mean, what's the craziest injury that you've suffered?
Broken bones? Fractured bones.
Nice.
I fractured my tailbone when I was 8. That was painful. Ooh.
How'd you do that?
I was on one of those little like plastic tricycle things at a friend's house and it flipped up and I just went directly onto my tailbone.
Yeah, I can't feel good.
No. And then like 3.5 years ago, I fell down the flight of stairs at my apartment because it's like the cement steps in LA where they like to paint it for whatever reason. And yeah. It was raining and I just slipped out and went straight down onto my elbow. So that one, it didn't break, but it still hurts to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good one then.
Yeah. Really.
You want longevity. That's really what it's about.
Yeah.
I bruised my tailbone when I was in high school. When I was a freshman, I was like 5'3" and I probably weighed like 90 pounds. And I was walking through the general like area where everyone kind of met during lunch and stuff like that. And this senior came up behind me, you know, because... a funny goofs, and he stuck his head under my legs and lifted me up onto his shoulders, and I just looked around like, what the fuck is going on? Because I didn't even know who the guy was, and then he just threw me, and I landed on my tailbone, and then everyone had a really good laugh. And that was the motivation I needed. I said, I got to hear these laughs forever. And
I was going to say, is that when your comedy career
today.
Started?
This was in 1997, so we weren't school shooting yet. Otherwise, this would have been a different tale for sure.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity for you.
The guy, his name was TJ Winters. I hope he's a listener and water under the bridge. But he was going to get suspended. They were obviously, I was in a tremendous amount of pain. And so they took him to the office and they were like, yeah, we're going to have to suspend you for this. And he was like, oh yeah, what if I just drop out? And then he just dropped out of school. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, wow, this dude had a great plan. You know, he was like, I'm going out. I might as well kick the shit out of that kid real quick and then fucking ride off into the sunset. So I don't know what he's up to. I know, like I said, hope you're listening. I hope your day at UPS or wherever it is you work was great. I try and take it out on my bullies in podcasts now. Where are you from originally?
I grew up on an island outside of Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a Nicolas Cage movie about an island outside of Seattle.
Which one?
I think it's called Wicker Man or something like that.
I know the name. I haven't seen it.
It's terrible. You should check it out.
Definitely am interested.
There's like a My Girl type thing going on where there's a lot of bees and bees stinging. And,
great.
You know, anytime you can work in a My Girl reference... into a movie, I think it's good. All right, so you grow up on an island. How many people are we talking?
I think it's like 23,000.
Okay, so a decent size.
Decent size, but it's like a lot of retirees. And then, so there's one high school, there's one like public middle school. So everyone knows each other in
yeah,
that
that's
way.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
And then how big is your high school? What are we talking about student population-wise?
My graduating class was somewhere around 400 people.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty normal.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, I knew everyone's first and last name. I have no idea anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was strange. Like, you all grow up on the same island together, you know, doing sports and all of that. And
right.
You can either take the ferry or drive around to get off the island.
Is that how you get off the island?
Yeah, you can either take a ferry into downtown Seattle or you drive around into like Kitsap and you can drive down through Tacoma.
Okay, so there is a bridge off the island.
There is a bridge.
And when did you leave there? College? Is that?
Yeah, I left. I went to the University of Washington, so I just crossed the pond. It wasn't too exciting, but I was actually born down here. So.
Oh, okay. You were born in L.A.
I was born in L.A.
Which part?
Santa Monica.
Classy.
Yeah.
Have you, when you were born, I guess you probably moved when you were little, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Was it because of the homeless people that live there?
Yes, it was definitely from the homeless people. No, my mom wanted to like get out of the city. And so they moved to a random island in Washington.
It's a weird place to go to.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, my parents are hippies. They had like...
Not as weird then to go there.
Not,
that
yeah.
That makes more sense.
Like real hippies.
For
like,
real?
Bought the van in Germany, drove to India. Like...
Wow.
Yeah, I'm talking like my dad loves to tell stories about, you know, driving through Afghanistan and they didn't, you know, speak or read Arabic and just trying to navigate places and all of that. So,
I mean, if you're going to do a road trip, people always say Germany to India is the best plan. I mean, you would see a lot of crazy things, I guess, but at the same time, doesn't sound like the hippie travel plan as much. I'm thinking like, you know, Seattle to Berkeley.
Yeah,
stopping every, you know, 300 to 400 feet and just really enjoying the land. What do they do when they get to India?
They live there for 6 months.
Okay.
My dad's a photographer, so he was just like
he's just taking
pictures, and my mom reads a lot.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I mean, that's a great explanation for how a couple can work. You know what I mean? It's like dad's doing all the stuff, and mom's like, I can read anywhere. Who gives a shit? This is your journey. I'm just going to be over here reading. Well, yeah, I mean, I can't even think of what they traveled through other than Afghanistan to get there. But
Iran, Turkey.
So best of the best,
yes,
really.
Yes. And my dad, like, you know, it was in the 70s, and he convinced my mom when they were going through Turkey that people knew that he was Greek. He's like a prankster, and that they were going to come and kill them in the night. Like, he thought
honestly,
that was
the
so
first,
funny.
The first thing I thought was, like, Turkey and Greece don't get along. But I didn't want to be like, did anyone try and murder your dad? Because then it sounds like I'm being racist against Turkish people, which I am. And, yeah, I mean, that's I don't know what the political atmosphere was in the 70s, I guess, going through those regions, but that sounds like your dad is a risk taker.
Oh, yeah.
So he doesn't care, or he was just so sure that things were going to work out because of the hippie mindset?
I think that's probably where I get my, like, not... My lack of self-preservation from is probably from him.
Right.
So I think that makes sense.
You're like, he went through Iran... And risked his life. I fell downstairs during rain.
I risk my life every day out on the streets
just,
of Los Angeles. Okay.
Yeah. You could be murdered by homeless people any day here.
Oh, I should be dead in like car accidents by now.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
How many car accidents have you been in? You can't even.
I
can't even ballpark it.
I less than 10, but definitely more than 6.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah.
And we're talking totaled cars, just fender benders, a little bit
both.
Of everything?
The last series of car accidents I was in, well, the last series of car accidents with my car that I was in, I know.
The plot thickens.
Oh, yeah. I got hit one time on Sunset, 7 days later again on Sunset, and then I went to the emergency room after the second accident. While I was in the emergency room, my car got hit on the street a third time.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, it's starting to sound like this is some sort of insurance fraud, if I can be perfectly honest.
I wish. I wish
even,
I got some money out of
it. You didn't gain anything out of this?
Not really. I feel like I lost money.
My car... Over the years, have been hit so many times by parking on the street places in Los Angeles.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Like, I pulled in. I used to drive for, like, a post-production house. I would just drive tapes around or whatever, take them to different houses after they're edited. And I parked a car one time, and I took some tapes or digibetas, whatever it was, inside. And I came back out, and the security guard was like, yeah, the dude hit your car. I'm like, what dude? And he was like, the guy in the truck. I'm like, what are you talking about? And there was literally just slice all the way down the side of my car. And I'm like, did you get the guy's license plate? And he was like, no, he was gone by the time I got here. I'm like, what purpose do you serve? And so then I had to get the security camera footage, and it was like Waxy Sanitary Company or something. And they were literally just like, we don't think that happened. I'm like, I have security footage. But I ended up just getting screwed. So
yeah,
do you know anyone over there?
I actually do.
Yeah, you know, perfect.
I can get a directory for you.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Every guest so far, I try and get to the bottom of that case from 14 years ago, and this is my first lead, so that's pretty exciting. What do you do now?
I work at UCLA.
You work at UCLA. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you do there?
I work in business and finance solutions. So like I do purchasing on behalf of departments when they have to do like high value equipment or specialized stuff.
And how do you get into that? Is that something you've studied or?
I have a background in supply chain. And so
are we talking about selling guns? Because that's what that sounds like. A background in supply chain.
I mean, technically, yeah, guns fall under their supply chain purview.
All right.
It would be more exciting, you know, if it was like, you know, 3D printing my own guns, I think. But no, supply chain. So like managing, procuring items from the beginning of the supply chain to the end. So, you know, I think a lot of people are familiar with supply chain due to the pandemic because there's been back orders and shortage of things. But I started off in the supply chain realm in the private sector, and then ended up, when I moved down here, I got a job at UCLA, and now I've been there for like 6 years.
What was the dream originally?
What
gets you into supply chain?
I really like solving problems. I like deductive reasoning, just that kind of stuff.
This is the least American thing you've ever said. I don't even think they're going to let you stay in the country if that's the plan.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. They're just going to kick me out.
This is the European part of you coming out. Because here in the States, what we like to do is put up roadblocks as quickly as possible.
Well, the Greeks like to put up roadblocks, too. But
see,
yes,
there it is. That's where it's coming out.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's definitely different in like my job is way more like bureaucratic in the sense of dealing with, you know, flow down provisions from federal funding stipulations.
I know all about that.
I'm sure you do. So it's very exciting.
I honestly don't know what that means. And I know that's going to be shocking because a lot of people think that's one of my specialties. When you were a kid, what did you want to do?
I wanted to be an astronomer.
An astronomer?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think that's a very good job, probably.
Probably not. I also got an internship after my freshman year of college in a lab and then realized that, like, I didn't want...
That's not something you actually
enjoy?
No,
it's like not... It's something I have a... You know, I love science fiction. I like, you know, astronomy or astrophysics from the perspective of someone who like listens or reads to stuff, but not as an everyday.
A lot of people who are into astrophysics feel that way.
I pride myself on knowing who Neil deGrasse Tyson was before a lot of people
before
did.
Before he was cool?
Super hipster.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just even considering who he is at this point is it's almost hack, but
yes,
you were in on it before it was cool.
Yeah. Like before he was on Rogan's podcast.
Yeah.
And then he just ruined it for everyone.
What I think is funny though, when he's on Rogan's podcast is like, he speaks as one of the greatest experts in his field. And Joe is still just like, I don't know, man. And he's like, explain to him like, no, that's the way it is. And he's like, yeah, you know, I talked to a guy, you know, he does the rings down on the beach in Santa Monica occasionally. You know, this guy can do 400 sit-ups, and he told me that it's not likely. And that the way he looks at him, the way he's looking back at Rogan is just like, I don't want you to talk while I'm discussing this. I guess that's the nerd in me that's just excited, like, we're finally fighting back against the physical bullies. So you've lived here for 6 years, you said?
Like, yeah, a little over six.
And do you have a boyfriend, a husband? What's your...
I have a boyfriend.
Yeah, where'd you meet him?
I met him, you know, like everybody else in Los Angeles.
I don't know where people are meeting.
Well, I met him at the homeless encampment by the VA. So we've been going strong for a while now.
Is that true?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, this is really getting exciting then.
No. I mean, I wish it was, but yeah. No, it's not.
You guys met online or something?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And, well, on an app or online, or is that the same thing?
Backpage.
Back? No. Back, listen.
No, I'm kidding.
She's got the facts, people.
No, we met on Hinge.
Okay. What's the difference between Hinge and Tinder?
I think Tinder is like more grimy, probably,
right.
Would be the distinction.
I have a friend who met a girl on Tinder and then they got married. And everyone at the wedding was like, I don't think this is legal. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to stay together forever if you met on the Would You Fuck This Face app.
Which is weird because now I'm going to friends' weddings and a lot of them have met online.
They have.
Oh, yeah. I was just at a wedding and that's how they met.
They
yeah.
met through a hookup app.
Yes.
See, I met my wife well before that was a cool thing to do. And so I've never been able to date anyone online, but I feel like with my face, it would not have gone well.
I mean, it's always a race to the bottom to begin with.
Is that true?
It feels like it. Or it felt like it. It's, you know, I haven't been dating for a while.
But. What do you put on your profile? Did you say like recreational interest in astrophysics? How do you hook the guy?
I never wanted to be the person who had like better looking photos of themselves.
Right. You're not catfishing.
No, I wanted it to be the opposite. Like you see me and you're like, oh my God, you look so much uglier online than
that,
you do in person. Yes.
I think more people should be like
truth
that.
Truth in advertising, but like truth and not over advertising.
Now, how do you do it? Do you just take a picture trying to look bad or do you just go through old photos and you're like, that one's terrible?
No, I just don't like. You know, I feel like a lot of people want to put like sexy photos on or like stomach showing.
That's a hook usually.
I feel like it is. I mean, I haven't been on like the man's end of looking at women's profiles,
sure.
But I just from my,
a lot of dudes showing abs,
a lot of guys with just like pictures of money in front of their cars, which is a real bummer.
I'm sorry.
Or, like, money in front of cars that other people own, but it's, like, some guy on top of, like, you know, an Audi.
He's posing. Like, it's, like, yes. Senior photos by the really cool tires. Like
that or, like, some guy, same outfit, same apartment, but just six different selfies in either different angles or, like, in the same room but in different areas of the room.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing how little effort men will put in to
yeah.
that while girls are constant, like my girlfriends would be like, will you look at my profile? I just want to make sure this looks okay. Like
so much effort. And dudes are just like, this is what I am.
Yep.
You know what? My smile's not creepy enough in that picture.
I got your number. Let me just send that quick dick pic.
How often were you getting dick pics on these apps? Constantly?
All the time. And not even on apps, like just on the rare occasion, if I give my number to somebody and I'm like, why did I make that mistake?
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, now I have a photo of a stranger's dick in my phone.
Never sent a dick pic. There's so much in life I feel like I missed out on by just not being that cool.
It's something I wish was less common, but what can you do?
It's an aggressive move. Have you ever seen a dick pic and gone, whoa, got to call that guy back?
I've definitely seen dick pics that other people have been sent mm-hmm. because it was like, whoa, that's terrifying.
Off, right.
And it's not really showing off at a certain point. I think it's more of like a hindrance.
Yeah. I guess showing off wasn't the right one, but it was like, look at this dick that someone sent me a pic of.
Yes. And it's usually horrifying.
See, I didn't know that the ladies were sharing those.
Oh, constantly.
So now I'm kind of thankful that I never got into the dick pic game. There was a guy here who sent dick pics years ago, and I guess it did make the rounds, because then I had multiple people that worked here being like, hey, have you seen this? And I'm like, what? Oh, God. And it's never fun as a straight man to see a pic of another man's penis.
I mean, it's never fun as a straight woman to see a pic of a man's
Listen,
penis. I'm just saying.
Keep your dicks to yourself. Like, All the women in the room seem to be clapping right now, which is uncomfortable because it feels like maybe people aren't respecting how beautiful the male genitalia is. Just because it's the weirdest looking thing of all time doesn't mean that it shouldn't be showcased frequently. I'm trying to bring in the right wing listeners.
I'm
doing whatever
about
I can. I know they're really into podcasts. Like, I'm into grifting. I think this is a way we can get some of the Rogan fan carryover, is if I just talk a lot about how beautiful penises are. Especially if your penis can do sit-ups. That's one of the most important things. Is there? Do you have any social media or anything you want to plug or promote? Do you have things that you want to get out there?
Yeah, the Dune movie is coming out on October 22nd. I'd like to plug that.
So, are you in it?
No, I'm not in it. I just want the second movie to be made.
Smart.
I just want people to go to the box office. I've been waiting for this for over a decade.
Yeah. So are you a fan of the original?
Oh, yeah.
So that's like your bread and butter.
Like the books. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the 1984 David Lynch version, yeah. But the books are where it's at.
You know what? I've never had someone promote just a movie they're looking forward to. I was like, oh, she's in Dune? This is great. And you're like, no, I like the books.
I just really want the second movie to be made.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that we have the listenership yet to get enough box office going for the Dune movies. But you never know, because like I said, once the Rogan people hear about the dick pic takes that I'm putting out there, it's going to increase a lot. We're going to get people out to see Dune, and then Dune 2, whew, no problem. That thing's coming out quick. What's your favorite movie?
Ooh, I don't have an answer to that.
Yeah?
I used to say The Usual Suspects, but I feel like that's not like...
You can't say it because Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I feel like it just...
If only Kaiser Sose didn't try and bone underage boys.
He ruined it for all of us.
Is that Gabriel Byrne?
Yes, Gabriel Byrne.
One of the
Kevin
Baldwins.
Kevin Pollak. The crazier Baldwin, which is hard.
Steven?
Yes.
I think it's Steven.
Steven. The one that was in Biodome.
Yeah, yeah. Pauly Shore just shared a video of him at... what's the... film festival in Utah. Sundance.
Sundance, yeah.
So he's at Sundance years ago. It's got to be the early 2000s maybe, but Stephen Baldwin found him on the streets and he's like, dude, I got a pitch for you. And I don't know why Pauly has someone following him around with a camera, but it's the most uncomfortable I've ever seen Pauly Shore. He's just like, yeah, dude. And he's like, Biodome, bro. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's a movie we did together. He's like, we got a pitch, Biodome 2. And look on Paulie's face is like, I don't think so, which is hilarious. Just that he would be not down with that. Stephen Baldwin starts going on. So here's the deal, right? My character's found Jesus, and I'm really trying to get you on board. And the look on Paulie's face is like, goodbye, Stephen Baldwin. But if Stephen Baldwin's listening, I'm willing to do the movie with you. He's got to be a listener, right? Is it? Yep. All right. The producer is letting me know Stephen Baldwin is on board with the podcast. That's a good movie, though, even though Kevin Spacey is pretty creepy. He's made a lot of movies that are good. And
unfortunately,
he's probably sent a decent amount of dick pics, which is really a beautiful art form. As long as you send the dick pic in black and white. A lot of people don't realize that makes it art. But I know a little bit about photography, and by that I mean... I don't really know anything about photography, if we're being honest. All right. Well, thank you, Tina. I appreciate you being on.
Thanks for having me.
Hang out if you would. We're going to have our next guest on, and you can also ask them inappropriate questions if you like. we'll be right back. Thanks, guys. Say hi. All right, guys, we're back. We talked about incredible amounts of controversial things while we were away. You're really missing out on the things we talked about, but that's because you're not here. And I know you're not allowed to be here, but that's really your fault. Our next guest, I'm not even sure how to say your name, so I don't want to butcher it. I'm going to let you say what your name is.
Moha.
Moha.
Yeah.
Okay. Moha.
It's just like Moha, basically. Everybody messes up, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it and I'm like, man, this isn't good. I'm from Kansas. And being from Kansas, you know, everyone's basically named Dave or Mike. So, and you're Swedish, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm Somalian Swede.
You're a Somalian Swede.
Yeah, I was born in Somalia.
Okay.
And then moved to Sweden when I was 5. And then lived in Sweden for most of my life till I came here for school.
Sometimes when there's Swedish people in the audience, I will pick on them because they're always incredibly white.
Yes.
And they're very nice people, but they get uncomfortable really easily. And I'll say, hey, what's your black friend's name? And every single time they start looking around all panicked. And then I go,
yeah.
You don't know any black people? And then they get really uncomfortable.
I mean,
so.
If you lived outside of Stockholm or Gothenburg or Malmö, you probably didn't have a lot of black friends. Those are the three big cities.
Okay.
I grew up in Stockholm, the capital. There's a lot of black people and Middle Eastern. And
yeah.
I think most immigrants that moved to Sweden lived in Stockholm.
Right.
And then they put them all in the same neighborhood, and that became this hood.
And that became the hood?
Yeah, that's where they came to buy drugs and stuff.
You don't hear you don't hear a lot about the Swedish hood, and no. I think that's a problem.
You know, I want to talk about the Swedish hood, because when I tell people I grew up in the hood in Sweden, they laugh at me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't know nothing about Sweden. I'm
yeah.
like, we don't have school shooting because the hood in Sweden, we don't sell guns to the school shooters.
Right.
We're like, get out of here, nerd.
That's
we're
a smart plan.
Yeah. But we sell guns to, you know, the gangsters.
Right.
And also,
and there are Swedish gangsters?
Yeah.
Are they Swedish? Is it Russian mob? What
they're
are we
not
talking about?
Swedish. They're like African, like I am.
Okay.
African background, or they're Russian, or they're Turkish, or they're Greek. We have Greek people there too as well.
Oh, wow.
And so all immigrants basically live in, Middle Eastern people live there too as well, from like North Africa and Iran.
Right.
So them all living there, being immigrants and poor, makes it the hood, you know?
Yeah.
Bad things happen and, you know.
What kind of drugs are we talking about in Sweden?
I mean, when I was a kid, the people I knew, they were selling, like, the older people, they were selling weed.
Sure.
I didn't know about the other drugs, right? I was too young. But they sold all the drugs.
They have all the good stuff there. Yeah. Good for Sweden, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's important. I hate that America dominates a lot of the drug trade in terms of availability.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. Sweden, I could see it, I guess. Your guy's number one enemy, Norway.
We call them little brothers. We wouldn't consider them that big of a threat.
Little brothers?
And they hate it, yeah.
That's such a Scandinavian thing, to just be okay with the people next to you that you clearly hate.
Yeah, I mean, we hate them. They hate us more because we tell them we bigger, we better at everything.
Right.
And they're like, no, we have a better football team.
Sure.
Soccer.
Yeah.
We have, we make more money.
Yeah.
Even though they're a richer country for some
reason. Is that true?
Yeah.
They have natural resources or something?
And they have the softest prison in the world. You know, in their prison.
This is a Norwegian prison?
Yeah, Norwegian prison.
All right. Give
us
the facts.
There's no cells.
Okay.
It's like an open island where all the bad guys live.
Okay.
They can go get their own greens, make their own food, watch TV, play video games. Not in the cell. They get bed, they get TV, video. It's ridiculous.
It's all open.
It's ridiculous.
Look, if you're looking to get into crime, Norway is the country for you.
Facts.
No punishments.
Facts.
Yeah, I think we feel the same way about Canada in a lot of ways. people who know me know my distaste for Canadian people. They're just generally good humans, and I don't respect that in a lot of ways. They've been judging us for a long time.
You know, you're right. Sweden are like America versus Canada.
Yeah.
Like, I like the Norwegian people. They're really nice people.
Yeah.
But they're very soft. I need a little edge, you know?
Yeah.
I need a little,
Amen.
You know?
I'm with you on that. I mean, one of my favorite things about America is we're terrible people. And, you know, we flaunt it. And I think that's an exciting thing, just to put out there for the world. Like, come be a part of this awfulness.
Yeah. I mean, we do flaunt it in Norway's face most of the time. We like... In 96 World Cup, we were number 3 in the U.S. The World Cup was held in the U.S. And
okay.
We were third best team in the world after Italy and Brazil. Norway, have you ever made the playoffs in the World Cup? You know?
What I like is that you're taunting Norway from the podcast, because he knows we have a strong Norwegian contingent in our fan base.
Yes.
You weren't even top 5. Let's not kid ourselves, Norway. You're garbage. In 1993, is that 1996? You were trash then, and you're trash now.
Yep.
Unless you're listening, in which case, thanks for listening. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
How long have you been in America?
I've been here almost 8, 9, 10 years almost.
What brought you here?
School. I play basketball, so I came here to play basketball and try to go to NBA.
Really?
Yeah, and then I realized I'm not Steph Curry. Just we have the same height. That's it.
That's it. So you're the same height.
Yeah.
Did you play in college or?
Yeah.
Where'd you play?
I played in the Green River Community College and then transferred to Washington State Cougars. We don't like the Huskies.
Yeah.
At least you didn't say you're a duck.
I mean, it's crazy the tension in the room right now.
Just, yeah, when she said University of Washington, I was like...
You thought about leaving, didn't you?
I felt myself getting...
We're in Sweden in this situation. Whoa. I would just like to say.
Wow. So no, you went to the Norwegian College of Washington.
I would call it the American and the Canadian College.
Amen. Thanks for making it so I could understand your disgusting Canadian university up there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't expect somebody growing up in a privileged island to go to the school.
Wow. You know? Snap. You could take shots back at him.
No, I mean, that just, like, disabled me. Yeah. I've got no response.
You don't even know how to respond.
No, I don't.
Andy's Somalian, so it'd be pretty rude if you took shots back at him.
Yeah, I mean, if I was just sweet, I wouldn't be this feisty. I think the Somalian pirate part.
Yeah,
sticks out a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
I'm proud of my heritage.
Absolutely, you know? And the Somalian part is way cooler than the Swedish part. Yeah. If we're being real.
Yeah, when I was a kid, and they said this is Somali pirates, and I was like, "We have pirates."
Yeah,
and I was like, "It's not good."
No, well,
I was like, "It's cool."
It's not good, but at the same time, pretty cool to have pirates in, you know, the 21st century.
I agree.
It's rare these days.
Yeah, I used to walk around school in Sweden, and be like, "We have pirates. You guys are nerds. You let the Germans walk through this country."
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's one of the most despicable things that the natural Swedes ever did was just lay down and let the Nazis walk all over them.
Yep. Yes, sir. They did.
How hard is it to just, you know, go, hey, this isn't cool? And that's where Sweden really fucked up.
I agree. I, when I learned that in school, I was a little kid, and I was like, you guys just let them walk through? Finland didn't do that.
No.
And they were like, yeah, because we don't like confrontation. I'm like, you guys are bitches.
Yeah, they are.
You're pussies.
Yeah. So natural Swedes, you're bitches, plain and simple. If there had just been more Somali Swedes back then, America wouldn't even had to get involved. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nazi Germany would have been crushed immediately.
Right.
Pirates, that would have been the key, I think.
Somali people are known to be feisty. That's why my country's been in a war for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
You know?
That's an impressive war. They've
been fighting each other. Yeah.
I think Nazi Germany lasted maybe 7 years.
You know, my pops...
Pretty pathetic.
My pops used to go to Somalia all the time, right? And
we're
like, can we come? We want to visit our country. And he's like, no, because they're going to take you for ransom and I don't have money.
Smart. That's a good dad right there.
And they were like, will you pay for us? And my pops said, I have 11 of you guys. If I lose one, it'd be just make my life easier.
Hold on. There's 11 kids in your family?
Yeah, I have 12 siblings.
Wow. Okay. So where do you fit into that crew?
Third oldest.
You're the third oldest.
Yeah.
How annoying was that growing up?
The worst.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I only want one kid.
Yeah. It's a smart plan.
It was the worst.
I've got two kids and it is impossible.
Yeah.
We
had so many bunk beds in our rooms. Like you had to roll through the middle and then jump out of the bed and tuck and roll like you were in the army.
Wow.
Because we had no space in between.
How many beds stacked up high are we talking here?
I mean two, because
just always two.
Yeah, but then it was so many of
them.
You know?
But you had six bunk beds.
Yeah, hand me downs, and it was crazy. Didn't like it. I remember coming home in the summer late, and I was like, "There's no food left." And my pop was like, "What were you doing?" I was like, "I was playing basketball." He goes, "Were you playing basketball?" Now ask basketball where the food is.
Dang. You know? Dad was really setting a lot of rules.
Yeah, my pops was old school.
He's
a savage.
He's a savage. I would never say that because I don't think Somali people are savages. But with that being said, it was just said on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, savage in a good way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize when I was a kid, but now I got older. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to raise my kid like my dad did.
Nice. Know? I like you just refer to it as your kid. Do you have any children now?
No.
It's just the plan.
Yeah, the plan.
See, I think that was where I messed up, was I never had a plan for if and when I had kids.
I'm not planning... Like, specific time?
Yeah.
If it happens.
Just
one. I don't want 12. One.
What happens if you have one kid? How do you prevent it? Are you going to get snipped?
Probably.
Yeah.
Get snipped or just back to the condoms.
Back. Amen. Welcome to Back to the Condoms. number one podcast in the universe. Really popular in Norway. I mean, it adds an element of condoms aren't being used, and I respect that in a strange way, I think. So you came here. You live in L.A. now.
Yes.
What do you do out here?
Comedy.
You're a comedian?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have a regular job too, or are you just doing comedy?
I had one. I was working in L.A. at Soul House before the pandemic.
Okay.
And then got laid off. And I was so excited about that, because it was a great job for being an artist, you know?
Yeah.
That flexible, good tips.
Sure.
And now they're like, oh, we're not going to hire you back. And I was like, why? They're like, seniority, you were the lowest on the telephone, you know?
Wow.
But now I'm looking for a job.
Okay.
Hopefully comedy will be my job. But
yeah.
Meanwhile, I got to find a job, you know?
Yeah, it's tough.
And I'm trying to work here.
You're trying to work at the Comedy Store?
Yeah, that would be a dream come true.
You know, listen, I worked at the Comedy Store for 2 years, and I can assure you it is not a dream come true.
I mean, look, you're a comic now. It worked out.
Yeah, you know what? That part did work out, but it was really more of a fluke than anything. When I got passed as a comedian here, I had no business on earth being a comedian here. And it was very exciting. You know, I was so proud and, like, happy that I got that. And then the first, maybe a week after I got passed, Mitzi gave me a spot, and I was so excited. I'm like, this is great. Right. And then I realized I had to do 15 minutes of material, and I probably had about 2 to 3 minutes of not that good material.
Oh, okay.
And so then I just bombed really badly for 15 minutes.
Did it make you better, though?
I mean, no, but I eventually got better. It just took time. Okay. It was nice having the stage time, I guess. That did help me in some ways, but it was brutal. That, you know, now I think they pay minimum wage at least, so that's a better aspect of it. But
yeah, I wouldn't do it for the money. Just I do have 15 minutes and more than that.
Yeah.
But I would do it just to get better, you know, get the development spots and you know, get it booked on some other shows, but the backyard shows, you know.
Yeah. So what does a Somali Swede comedian talk about?
You know, I talk about my pops. He's a character, right?
Yeah.
He's Somalian, first of all.
Yeah.
And then he, on top of that, he's old school.
Yeah.
Which is funny. And I talk about I'm a black man, right? Black Swede.
Yeah.
But I have Swedish tendencies, you know? What? I kiss my homies on the cheek, you know?
Is that true?
Yeah. I give them extra long hug if I miss them, you know? I'm into with my sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a straight man, but I tell them how
the Europeanness comes out.
Yeah. And then when Americans see that, they're like, what are you, gay?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm just Swedish.
Listen. Like I said, I grew up in Kansas. It's a very fine line between European and gay. A lot of people...
Right.
Like, to us, it's just like, I don't know. There's been multiple times I thought someone was gay, and then I found out, like, oh, he's just British. You know,
yeah,
I didn't...
Exactly, exactly. And I told my American friends, I'm like, you guys are just homophobic, like my African dad.
Right.
I understand your side. I'm not going to kiss you on the cheek.
Right. Now, out of the 12 kids, are there any gay members of the family?
No. Surprisingly, no.
You guys are beating the odds.
Yeah. Yeah, and most of them were born in Sweden, so it's surprising.
Yeah, that is surprising. Yeah. And does the rest of your family still live in Sweden?
Yeah, most of my family live in Sweden. My mom just moved to England a few years ago.
Okay, is she Somali as well?
She's Somali, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mom and dad divorced?
Yeah, divorced, remarried again.
They're both remarried.
With Somali people, yeah.
So they kept it in the Somali-Swedish community.
Yeah, my mom lives in England now.
Okay.
What does your mom do? She's retired now. She doesn't do much and raises her little kids.
That's right. There's still multiple kids. How old are you?
I'm 26.
All right. You're 26 and you're the third oldest. So there's a lot of little kids.
Yeah. But my mom's like, when are you going to come visit me? I'm like, it costs like $800 to go to England and then another $500 to go to Sweden. I'm like, I'm a broke artist. I can't visit you.
Yeah.
I was like, book me some gigs. She's like, what is that?
Yeah, she's like, no. I can only imagine.
They're not happy about being an artist. First, they hated me being an athlete. And
yeah.
Now, artists, they're like, are you losing your mind? What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, foreign people in general think it's insane to do stuff like this. Because you just work hard if you're from a country that isn't based on the most ridiculous system of paying people money.
I tried to tell my mom that. I was like, I'm working with the immigrant mentality. I'm working really hard.
Right.
To be great at this comedy.
You have the immigrant mentality to an American dream, basically.
I'm like, it's going to work out. And my mom is like, well, what are you going to do? Just tell jokes?
Yeah.
what do you want to be on TV? Like, how are you going to raise kids? I'm like, do you know entertainment make more money?
Yeah, that's the thing.
They don't believe it. Unless you're a doctor or lawyer, immigrant parents don't believe any other sports.
Right.
But entertainment can make you money.
Yeah. There's a comedian here who's, he was born in Seattle, but he's Afghani. His name's Fahim. And he's one of the funniest comedians out there at all. And his parents, not happy when he was like, I'm quitting my job at, he was doing... I can't remember what, some sort of engineering, and they were proud of that. Obviously,
he worked at Boeing.
Yeah, he did. He worked at Boeing. That's right.
Big time for immigrant parents.
Yeah, and they're just like, "This is great." And he's like, "I'm going to quit this. I'm going to do some acting and some comedy." I find it amusing, and at the same time, I guess like I was raised here, and my parents are very supportive. And when I told them like, "Yeah, I'm going to drop out of school and pursue comedy," they were just like, "Oh, okay." And I know they weren't happy about it, but it's just like, this is what you want to do.
You said your parents were supportive. Immigrant parents are never supportive unless you do become a lawyer or a doctor.
Right, those
never.
Are the two things.
Yeah,
you got to be that.
Or engineer.
It is weird, like, just the thought that if you are really good at basketball, even if you're just okay at basketball, you're going to make way more money than, like, a professor at a major university.
I tried to explain that to my dad over the years. Never worked out because he was like, no. And then my pops, speaking about my pops, he came to my basketball game once in high school in the finals.
Yeah.
And I had a game winner shot. And he was like, oh, your teammates seemed happy. It was a good game.
Damn.
I'm like, what?
He's not impressed at all.
Yeah. And I was like, you came to one game. And I was sad. And I got older. I was like, you know what? He had to work three jobs to take care of us, you know?
Yeah.
So I love my pops, you know?
Yeah. And
he wasn't supportive, but he had busy. He got to pay bills,
you know? It's a ridiculous thing. You're playing a game, and you think this is a real-life opportunity. He doesn't understand. It could be.
Right.
You went to high school in Sweden?
Yeah.
How competitive is high school sports there?
It's pretty competitive. You know, my high school was really good in sports.
Right.
Yeah, so it was good.
That's you went to one of the hood high schools.
Yeah, and I'll call it artsy because my high school was weird. It was one of the first high schools in Sweden where there was like sports and arts. Like,
yeah,
there was like music.
You could do theater and music and stuff.
And the sports, and they were good at both. My school was good at so they, whoever got into school was like in a
right
good day thing.
So you had to kind of earn your way into the school. Is that how it worked, or
is it
not just like you live there, so you get to?
No, there's so many high schools, so they're like you got to be good,
right,
to go into school. You know.
And so when you're playing basketball in high school in Sweden, are you playing against extremely white schools, or are you playing other?
It's Stockholm. We played in our city, Stockholm,
right?
The capital. It's mixed. Every school was mixed,
right?
You know. And then when we got really good, we were best school. We went to play the Eastern Europeans, Lithuania, and those guys were really good.
Yeah, they're great.
They were all white, but they were all good.
Yeah.
They were killing us.
Yeah, I mean, they have some NBA players that are really good.
Yeah.
And you're just like, every time you look at an NBA game and you're like, whoa, there's a lot of white guys on the floor, you know they're not American.
Yeah, they're East European. They're not Swedish either.
Yeah.
We had one Swedish guy, Jonas Trepko. He was good.
When I was in high school, we had our team was never great at basketball, but one of our rival schools, I think they won state. I can't even remember because I didn't care that much, I guess. But they had two Swedish players that were here for exchange student or whatever it was, but they were clearly just in the States to try and get basketball scholarships or whatever it was. But I just remember my high school being, I was going to say racist, but these were the two of the whitest dudes of all time. So it wasn't really racism. It was ethnocentricity, I guess.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of like every time they'd shoot free throws, the whole student section would just be yelling like, Schmiergen, Giergen, Schmiergen, Giergen.
That's part of sports. No reason.
Yeah. And we thought we were really like, oh, if they miss a free throw, we're like, we got them good.
Yeah. I mean, that's normal in sports, right?
Yeah.
I heard all kinds of shit when I shoot free throws. You know, I took pride in making them. But
yeah,
they were like, Goofy Pirate, whatever. You know, they said whatever they can.
Those bastards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goofy Pirate? They don't. You're Lethal Pirate.
Yeah. And then sometimes, you know, I taunt them back when I make them. And then... And
yeah,
the coach like, don't do that.
Oh yeah, they don't want. They're like, look, you're good. You cannot pick on people. Yeah,
they don't get technical foul. You do.
Yeah, that's true. Do you miss Sweden? Do you
Oh yeah, I miss Sweden. I love Sweden. You know, my friends, my family's there. I love it. You know.
Yeah.
One day I will go there, and not just for the visit, but go do comedy there. You know.
Yeah.
There's no Swedish Somalian comics in LA or big comics, so I'm trying to be the first.
Listen, I got to tell you, there's not a lot of Somalian Swedish people in any profession, as far as I can tell.
Right.
This seems like it's a pretty specific demographic. Yeah. Yeah. That you just don't see a lot of, you know?
Now the pressure is harder for me to be good at this.
Yeah, you got to raise the level because, you know, you're the example. You're the only example.
Yeah. Hey, comedy store, you never had a Swedish Somalian kid working
here? It's ridiculous.
You could be the first one.
I have been saying for 19 years, if we don't hire a Somalian Swedish door guy soon, you know, we're going to look bad as a comedy club.
I appreciate that. You know...
Do they have comedy clubs in Sweden?
Yeah, they do. They do. But just, they have like Americans come there, you know?
Right.
And other comedians, but...
Is there any famous Swedish comedians?
No. Especially not in LA.
Yeah. Well, I was just trying... Like, I know a bunch of random foreign comedians from all over Europe, but I don't think I've ever met a Swedish comedian.
The biggest Scandinavian comic, I think, is Ismo.
Oh, yeah.
He's Finnish.
Yeah. He's funny. I've done shows with him at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach.
He's great.
He's a weird dude.
Yeah, but he's funny. Yeah. He's great.
Finland, what is the Swedish take on Finland? I know they're basically
those drunks. Don't get me started on
those
drunks.
No, tell us. That's the thing. God. That's what we want to know.
We call them the drunk Russians of Scandinavia.
Yeah.
And dummies.
Yeah, and they're dumb.
Yeah, and they say, we are better than you guys. We're like, if you were better than us, why do you... The second language in Finland is Swedish. Everybody in Finland speaks Swedish.
Is that true?
I'm like, if you were better than us, why do you speak our language? We don't speak Finnish.
I love that you took it on. That's your language.
Yeah, I'm like, why are you speaking Swedish? You know, they are just goofballs.
My grandma, she was Swedish. Her name was Shirley Herber. And she, I think, would be... terrified to know because you know she's old and well she's dead now but she was old and I think racist. I don't really know,
of course.
But
everybody above 60 is racist.
Yeah, I mean that's true. Yeah, I think for all races and nationalities, just if you're above 60, terrible person probably.
Yeah most likely.
How old's your dad?
My pop's racist.
He is.
Yeah.
Who's he racist against? Whites.
Yeah, he says the whites, you know, they're all about the book. You got to work harder than them, you know.
Yeah.
If they have A, you got to have A+.
Sure.
But he's racist against a lot of people, you know. He says, I don't like Italians.
Amen. Amen.
Know? He goes, those guys raped our woman back in the days.
Wow.
And they colonized Somalia, you know, back when Europe was just taking parts of Africa.
Sure.
Italians took East Africa.
That's what they went for.
Yeah. And my pop's like, we don't like them. And then I grew up and I started loving mob movies.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, I kind of like American Italians.
Sure.
They have gangster ways, you know.
I'm not a fan of the American Italians. The real Italians, I don't have as much an issue with because, you know, I'm not a woman. So they're not inappropriate
white.
To me.
I went to Italy.
Hold on. You identify me as white?
Yes.
All right. Story checks out. That's true.
I mean, when I went to Italy and Greece even, they're kind of a little racist against darker people.
Yeah.
You know? And they don't hide it. They're like, we speak Italian here. If you don't speak, we can't serve you, you know?
Wow.
Basically, what they would say is, we don't want to serve you.
Yeah. Like, if I was there, they would find a way to serve me, probably.
Yeah, especially when you're American. They're like, you know?
Right. They think I'm rich. Yeah. They don't know that I'm over there just stealing bread from Italian restaurants. I've never been to Italy, but if I was, I would 100% steal bread.
Yeah. I told them I like American Italian food better than your food.
Nice.
And they didn't like that.
If I ever go there, every restaurant I eat at, I'm going to go, it's not Olive Garden good, but it's okay. This is authentic. You guys should think about doing an Olive Garden thing.
Exactly what I said.
Endless breadsticks. That's the key.
Right.
What kind of... food? What was Swedish food? I just remember my grandma's food was disgusting. Swedish meatballs, disgusting.
Yeah, it's not the greatest. The
weird meatballs. Sausages.
Sweden have good food though. We have like great breakfast. We have crepes and it pancakes with the lingonsylt. You know.
With what?
It's like the jelly. It's called lingon. I don't know how you call it in English.
Got it.
English is my third language, by the way. I speak Somali as well.
So you speak how many languages total?
Three.
You got Swedish, Somali, and English.
A little bit of English.
Where did you learn English?
Here. Actually, I learned English in Sweden because second language in Sweden is English. Everybody in Sweden speaks English.
Really?
And then we watch same movies and same music and on MTV. So when I came to America, they're like, how do you speak English?
Yeah.
And I was like, we speak English in Sweden.
Right. Yeah. Look, another great thing about America is we, for the most part, just learn one or two semesters of Spanish and then never use it right. ever again.
Right.
I decided to go down a different route when I was in high school and I had to take foreign language. I was like, look, this is really important. I'm going to learn Latin because no one has spoke it for thousands of years. Because I knew I was just going to forget it anyway, and I regret nothing because I don't remember a single bit of it. But it was pointless.
In Sweden, when you go to high school, they give you the third language. You can pick German, French, or Spanish. I picked Spanish, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, it's full, sorry. And you got to pick French or German. And I was like, of course, French, you know?
Sure. You want to be smooth, you know?
And then my first French teacher in high school, a freshman, she only spoke French in class. So none of us learned nothing.
Because she's not explaining it to you.
Yeah, and then after class, she starts speaking Swedish. We're like, yo, you got to speak both so we get it. She goes, no, that's how you learn. I'm like, no, we're not in France.
yeah.
And she didn't get it. And then I dropped out. And then when I came to America, everybody think I'm French black, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish I fucking had a good learned teacher. It.
Yeah.
I wish I had a good teacher.
Yeah. Listen, all of my flaws are because I didn't have good teachers. I'm putting that on you, any teachers who are listening to this podcast, especially in Norway. what's the three worst things about Norwegian people?
Soft, very soft.
Very soft, weak people.
They look down when they talk to you.
It's just no confidence whatsoever.
Yeah. They can't admit that we're better, you know? They're liars.
They're liars. You're soft, weak, unconfident liars, and you know it, Norway.
Good people, though.
Sure. The good people, if you want to walk all over someone, you hear me? Your soccer team is garbage, Norway. What's your take on Americans? What do you think of Americans?
I mean...
I'm. By the way, I understand we're terrible people, so you don't have to.
Americans are. Let's start off with the obvious. Americans are really dumb.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
not all Americans, but most Americans are really dumb.
Like, that's the
especially
problem.
Especially in the mid-America, like Midwest.
Yeah.
They're really retarded.
That's where
can
I'm
I
from.
Say that word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could say that word.
I mean, I'm a foreigner. I don't have a lot of vocabulary.
Listen,
you know?
There's all sorts of excuses we can give. If anyone gets if they say, "What you let that guy say retarded," I'm going to go, that's racist. you're going to tell him what he can and can't say?
Right.
So your oppression stops now, colonizer.
Thank you, Rick.
Yes.
I always wanted a white friend on my side.
Yeah, that's very appreciate important it. around this country. You always want to have someone who's willing to just do the wrong thing for the right reason.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I love about America is the capitalism, you know?
Yeah.
As an immigrant, you know, we're all about capitalism.
Yeah.
And in Sweden, there's nothing about capitalism. So I'm like, I'm here, I can achieve anything.
Yeah.
I just have to work really hard and get lucky
and
get my opportunities and hopefully get good at what I do, you know?
The great
and
thing,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, the great thing about capitalism is everyone has an opportunity and most people never get a chance to enjoy it.
Right.
It's really great for a very tiny percentage of people. But the hope of being in that percentage really drives this
the
country.
The hope is all you need as an immigrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know how to work. I'm like, there's a hope.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck if I have an accent, you know? You just work hard. And that's what I like. But most other things, politics, bullshit.
Yeah.
The news is not a fucking news.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, though, living here for so long, my best friends are Americans, right? And they're good people. You can find good people in America.
Yeah, you can.
A lot of fakes, a lot of flakes, a lot of L.A. people.
Yeah.
But also a lot of good ones.
Well, L.A. people are not American. It's a right. It's a very different thing.
Yeah, they're Californians, right?
Yeah, they're Californians. they're just L.A. people. We're not even like the other parts of California. There's just so much. I like to think of it as the worst people from every part of America come here. And so we got a lot of people who, you know, just don't belong anywhere else because people would judge them for their terribleness.
And the world.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I know some Swedish people that came here that's actually pretty dumb.
Yeah.
I was like, you just add into the dumbness.
Yeah. You know what, though? If you're dumb, this is the place to be. Specifically LA.
Right.
It's like you're not intelligent about anything. you should definitely give LA a shot. That's the way to go.
Yeah, just add to our traffic. We need more traffic.
Always. Yeah. I am so excited about just the prospect of traffic getting so terrible again in this place. So, do you drive?
Not right now, but I'm going to have to get a car and do Uber soon because I don't know if I'm going to get a job somewhere.
Right.
But what I'm planning on is get a job close to where I live. That's the key in LA, yeah, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Live really close to your school or your job.
Yeah.
So you don't have to drive 45 minutes for a mile. You know?
Yeah. I lived about 3 blocks from the Comedy Store for many years because this is where I was at all the time, and I had a horrible drinking problem.
Smart. Very smart.
So it was like I could either live in a more affordable part of town or I can get a DUI, and those were really the two options. So
see, you're right. You got to be smart about where you live.
Yep. Always plan ahead. Do you have anything you want to promote? You have social media?
Where can people
find out about shows and stuff that you're doing?
I post usually on my social media, my Instagram mostly, MOWHAAA, MOHA.
Triple A.
Yeah.
Nice.
Triple A, MOHA. You got to say it out. You know, you got to put it in the universe.
MOHA.
My name is bigger than who I am right now, but hopefully I catch up to it. MOHA, you know?
It's so smooth. If I say that, I go, Rick. It sounds really dumb. It's such a better name than mine. All right. Well, thank you for being on. We appreciate it. And Sarah's going to come on and we'll talk a little bit more, the four of us. She's going to ask the questions that I didn't ask because my brain goes in the worst ways possible usually. So we'll be right back. Thanks for being on, guys. Say hi. All right, we're back, guys. Sarah's here. She's got the important questions. That's what I like to think of.
You bring the
good stuff that I completely miss out on.
I just think it's cool that we have two guests, again, whose stories somewhat overlap because they have two old school fathers.
Yeah.
Like, you have an old school Greek father. You have an old school Somali father. And you both went to college in, like... How close are your colleges?
They're five hours.
Yeah. Oh, they're 5 hours apart.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Washington was that large.
I didn't either.
WSU is Eastern Washington. I was Western Washington.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're like by
the
Idaho.
You were
in
the city.
I was in the city.
And are you guys rival schools? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Big
rivals. Well, UW doesn't consider WSU to be as big of a rival as
Oregon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But we play a cup called Apple Cup every year. And we that's... the craziest game of the year.
Mm-hmm. In football?
Yeah, football, yeah.
Okay, yeah. On rivalry weekend, so like the end of college football season.
It's
rivalry
the
weekend.
Saturday after Thanksgiving. Every year. And they alternate between Pullman and Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, in Georgia, they always make Georgia play Georgia Tech, and we're like, nobody gives a shit about Georgia Tech. Our rivals are Florida.
Yeah.
Fuck Florida. That was the only F word I was allowed to say in my house growing up.
Fuck Florida.
Florida was, yeah. I could only say the F word if I said it in front of Florida.
I think KU is similar.
Yeah.
Kansas State considers us rivals. We kind of think about them.
Yeah.
But Missouri was always the...
Right.
Because,
Yeah,
there's just the history.
Yeah.
But there was as a basketball fan, there was a year when those schools were pretty good close by and they were both big in college.
Yeah.
There was a couple of years they were really...
Yeah, there were. Yeah.
But in basketball, are you guys as big a rivals in basketball?
No, they're better than us in basketball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It hurts to say that.
I just want to congratulate you on being a basketball player that only wants one kid. I think that's
really impressive.
I mean, when you have an African dad and you have to share everything and sometimes miss out on dinner, you know, you're like, I don't know how my pops and mom did it, you know?
That's the craziest thing ever, that they continued to have sex.
Yeah.
Like, that blows my mind.
Yeah. That they had time.
Like, when you get eight kids, how many rooms were in your home?
It was like 4 rooms, but they were all stacked.
They're all stacked.
Yeah.
So mom and dad have their own room.
Yeah.
And then...
In Sweden?
Brothers?
Yeah.
Brothers, sisters? What's the... How many boys, how many girls?
The girls had one room and the boys... We had mostly boys. So boys had like one room and one room.
Right.
You know?
And then they had a guest room? Like what? Like no, girls had one room, boys had another. Yeah. And
the boys had two rooms.
The boys had 2 rooms.
Oh, 2 rooms.
And my pops, yeah.
I see.
No, guest room was in the living room. You know, you're like...
That's where I would have slept anyway.
Yeah, I slept there sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
When we had some uncle... that nobody invited came through. Oh. And they're like, Moha, you gonna sleep over there? I'm like, why? Nobody likes this guy. My pops like, what'd you say? I'm popping in the mouth.
Right.
You know?
Old school.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the oldest. That's why. Like, one I was of the oldest. But, I know, but you're like older. So like
old
you
enough. Had
more. Yeah. And I remember my mom one time found a condom in my pocket when she was doing laundry. And she's like, what is this?
Yeah.
I was like, it's a condom. She's like, what are you having sex? And I was like, in case I do get lucky. And she's like, we can't have sex before. I forgot to tell you guys, I'm also Muslim, right?
Okay. Oh.
So I have all the things that white men don't appreciate.
Yeah.
Black skin. Yeah. You know,
they're
Muslim.
Getting, they're getting more scared.
Yeah.
African.
African. The hair. Yeah. I'm loud. You know, I'm a loud.
Terrified.
You're not wearing sleeves. So that's kind of like what white people do appreciate most, in the Midwest.
By far the most cleavage we've had on any guest.
Yeah, I'm trying to appropriate lumberjack style.
I saw that.
It's, because you guys, white people, have been appropriating black culture for so long.
Now
it's time for black person to appropriate your guys' culture.
It's not just white people, okay? Everyone is appropriating black style. Yeah. So I know the Asians do it.
Yeah, yeah.
True. But again, this is almost like a country music look, which I think is going to...
I was going for the Maxwell look. I don't know if you hit, but
yeah.
Also trying to do it. I don't know what I was doing. I'm broke. I have like 2 shirts.
Smart.
2 shirts.
He's got 2 shirts. And he was like, we got to get rid of the sleeves on this one.
I've done a bunch of shows for the military overseas, and I did a show in Djibouti, and we went through Somalia for a little bit. And Somalia actually has the best cell phone reception of any country in the world because they never had landlines. So they started with cell phones.
Nice.
So
that's a win for us. Yes.
They started with cell phones. So they have cell phone towers all throughout the country. So you'll never lose cell reception, which is probably good for Somali residents or
pirates.
I was going to say.
Now it makes sense why.
Offshore.
Yeah.
It makes sense why they were always calling my pops for money, all our relatives.
Yeah.
Like, you're in Europe, you're going to send us money. I'm like, well,
and
how
do they say to send it digitally? Because they also have they also have the best digital currency because they all, like, they were very slow on like actual paper currency. Yeah. So now they have like a card system. So like everything is digital because that's...
I was asking my pops, I was like, how can they afford the cell phone bill to call you like 7 times a week?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? And my pop was like, I don't know.
And does your family ever chew the cot? Which was
yes,
like
my
the
pops
big,
did that. Yeah.
What's that mean?
So cot is like a
drug.
A sedative, like a marijuana, but they chew it there.
You chew it, you drink soda or tea.
Uh-huh.
And you just conversate with your man. Like my pops used to sit in the living room at late night and with his homies. And when I got older, he let me hang out. And they had some great stories, you know?
Yeah.
It's like drunk uncles talking shit about their past. And then it was funny.
So it feels like, too, like if, like Tina, if your parents were hippies, then they must have been like cool with you doing being free. Were they free with like, were they cool parents if
they
were hippies?
My dad said to me when I was in high school, I will never get mad at you as long as you're creative with whatever you get in trouble doing. No, I'm not kidding. But speaking of colleges, he also told me if I went to USC, he would disown me. So he does have some boundaries. They're just like not what normal people would have.
I respect that.
Yeah.
People who go to USC are all horrible human beings.
I agree.
I don't know if we have any listeners from USC because they, I think, mostly just listen to white privilege podcasts. But they're all super rich. Super privileged and just terrible people.
And good at rowing. Good at rowing, though.
Yeah. Really good at
really
rowing.
Really good at rowing.
My experience, I feel like UCLA was the privileged school. I know the rich kids go to USC, but every time I have experienced hanging out with these kids, the USC seemed more open and less racist and less privileged. Hmm. Seemed, you know?
I mean, obviously, I don't know what the actual stats are on that, but just, you know, from the shit-talking perspective, you know, it's always SC is the problem.
Yeah.
Is that, why do you go work at UCLA now? It's because your pops said you have to work?
That's
no.
He told you can work anywhere but USC.
Anywhere but USC, no.
So she went the other way. Who's their rival?
Dad and mom both went to UCLA, and my grandfather, the Greek one, was also the chairman of the history department. So, yeah, so he studied Greek immigration into the United States. And so he was a Fulbright and a Rhodes Scholar.
Damn.
Yeah, very,
So well, much for your dumb American take.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not real American. I mean,
this is the exception.
They're not really American. That was him. That wasn't me.
I like it.
But yeah.
Do you think with all of your injuries, it's great that you're in close proximity to a hospital at UCLA?
No, because I've injured myself at work too. I definitely slipped and fell in our building.
Oh, do you make money off of slip and falls?
No, I don't. Okay. Unfortunately. Oh,
don't set it up.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay,
why don't you just call her out on her highest paying job, Sarah?
Well, I was just going to say, if she does, she could give that job to Moha because he does need a job.
I can hit you with
it.
It
is
my
a
car.
Great source of income.
I mean, I'm a Somali pirate. This is in my blood. I'm all about scheming. Give me some schemes.
I like that. I think both of them working this out. This is going to be good. She's offering to hit him with her car.
Right.
Somehow it's going to end with more damage to her car than damage to him. But it'll work out.
I think I'll end up in the hospital.
Somehow.
You know, you were saying you broke a lot of bones, right?
Fractured. But I haven't broken anything.
I grew up skinny like you and Rick. Whoa. I'm still skinny.
Whoa, man. Listen, this is America.
He didn't say me.
That's the bullshit.
That Sarah, about that. Sarah, I haven't seen pictures of you.
You haven't seen pictures of me? Just but wait.
My point is this.
They're on Tinder.
As an old school African kid, like my pops old school, we always drink milk. And in Sweden, you know, they're like very health conscious. They're like, milk is not good for you. I disagree. Drinking milk growing up and being skinny and playing all the sports growing up, I never broke anything. Mm. You should have drank some milk.
Mm. Yeah.
Your dad was Americanized. Milk? Americanized.
Do you drink milk?
No. See? I drank almond milk.
See?
What?
I drank
That's
milk.
That's that vegan
I've
bullshit.
I've never broken a bone either. I've never broken a bone.
Drink milk?
We had to drink milk at dinner every night.
That's what I said. That's what I mean.
I dislocated my shoulder when I was a kid. Never broke any bones. Stop drinking milk when I became an adult because I'm an adult. And things were going good until about 2.5 years ago, I started gaining weight. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I was about 195. And that was like...
Same.
That was like a lot more than I had ever weighed before. And so I did the right thing. And I said, you know what? I haven't exercised in a decade. I should probably get out there and start jogging. Mm-hmm. And so I started jogging. I made it, I think, 4 nights of running. And then I stress fractured both of my legs because my body could not
handle the weight.
You know
why? Because you're drinking those nut milk. That nut milk. Nuts
First
don't
of all,
have titties.
Nuts don't have titties is the name of the new podcast.
That's going to be a meme.
Nuts don't have titties. And I've always said that. I've never drank almond milk or oat milk or any of the other milks. I just am milk free in general. But I basically just had to lose a bunch of weight and then my legs don't break anymore.
Right.
Luckily.
But if you drink milk, you can be heavy and not break anything.
I broke them in simultaneous steps, which is exciting. Like,
wow.
I stepped down mid-jog, and I felt horrible pain in my leg, and I went, oh, shit. And then I put all my weight on the other leg, and then I went, oh, shit. And then I literally hobbled back home, like, in tremendous pain. It was fucking impressive.
So, my friend Sarah, we can call her Aswell, because her name's Sarah as well.
I only know her as Aswell.
Yeah. So, she had a couple of questions that she wrote down. I didn't want to steal them, because they were funny, so I'm going to let her ask them.
Okay.
Sorry.
Say
Tina.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Sarah as well. Tina, is it Bainbridge Island that you're from?
It is.
Do you eat popcorn with nutritional yeast?
I do not.
But you've heard of it.
I sure have.
What's that all about?
It's like, I guess it's supposed to be healthier, right? And has flavor. I don't know.
The only people in the world I've ever heard of that do this are from Bainbridge Island. There's been like 3 people.
Do you know someone from Bainbridge? Because I probably know them.
Yeah.
That's the reality. It's so scary.
I can't remember his last name, but his first name is Cameron.
Do you know how old he is? The year he graduated?
Let me see. It was inappropriate. He was a decade younger than me. He's probably like 27.
Might be a little too young for me to know then.
Oh, I got to apologize. I thought you were from Mercer Island.
No, I am not from Mercer. Thank you.
Finally. We finally offended
Tina. I-405 does not go through my island. I appreciate it.
I just lived there for a couple of years. Highways.
All right. My other question for you, Moha, is if Norway is Sweden's Canada, who is your Mexico?
Great question.
Great question.
Those dirty Turks.
Turks.
Wow. I mean,
wow.
You don't even expect that.
No, I didn't expect that.
It's nowhere near Sweden, but at the same time, you said it with a passion that let me know that it's
yeah,
true.
I mean, I thought you were going to say Finland.
The closest ones to us is Denmark.
Yeah.
Also, little brothers. And we have Holland. We respect them. We have Germany. We have to respect them. They have the strongest economy now, you know?
Sure.
And then you go south. It could be Greek or Turks.
Okay. So Turks. Those are the other people in Sweden. That's what you're saying? That's the other large immigrant population?
Yes.
Okay.
I love Turks. Like you said, your family drove through Turkey. I think Istanbul is like one of my favorite cities I've ever been to. I want to know why you don't like.
No, I wanted to go to Turkey. I would love to go to Turkey. I was actually going to go to Istanbul, but when I was in Thessaloniki, the train or the bus or whatever that went wasn't running, so I didn't get a
chance. Don't get me wrong. I like the Turks because they're like me. Because Turkey people don't respect Muslims, and I'm Muslim. So when I go to Turkey, I tell them I'm Muslim. They fuck with me. But when I tell them I'm just Swedish, they don't fuck. You know, they don't fuck with nobody.
See, I like Turkey because they were so inclusive to every religion, like Christianity, Judaism, like all of that.
Tell that to the Armenians. Am I right, guys?
Right.
Oh, okay. I've never been to Turkey. I don't really have, I guess, any desire either way. But to me, Istanbul was just a lot better when it was Constantinople. Am I right, guys?
Hello.
You know where Istanbul comes from?
No.
Istanbuli, like it's like the city in Greek, Istanbul, Constantinople.
Oh, see?
Great.
They stole that too?
They did.
The Turks in Sweden are like the Asians here. They have so many restaurants with kebabs and shish kebab. The food is amazing.
The food is really good.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about the hand-me-downs in your house because you said everybody had hand-me-downs. But, like, is everyone as tall as you? Because, like, were your hand-me-downs?
I was curious as well.
No, I was lucky. You know, everyone was getting hand-me-downs. When I hit, like, 14, I became the tallest because my big brother is a midget.
No,
he's not a midget. He's not a midget, but you know, he's short.
He's under 6 feet.
Yeah, he's under 6 feet. So when I was like,
he was only 5'11", like a tiny little monster. Yeah,
he was a bully and everything, right?
Yeah, it's another story.
He's like 5'9", 5'8", something like that. But when I was 12, I was 5'8".
Wow.
So I stopped getting hand-me-downs, and I used to be like, "What's up, bro? We both getting shopping together today."
Nice.
It used to be just him and my dad, right?
Yeah, but now they got to buy man clothes for
you. I was like, "I'm about to give you a hand-me-down next year, bro."
That's fantastic.
And he used to just hit me in the ribs.
And then you'd tell him, "I'm just kidding. You still won't be able to fit in
one." Yeah. And then we used to wrestle. I don't know why I always fought him, and he always beat me. But you know what? Whatever he did to me, I did to my little brothers.
Yeah. So, how tall are you?
Right now, I'm 6'3". That's
okay. Right now, you're right still now, growing.
He's still going.
I don't think I'm going to grow, but 6'3 is great. Not great for basketball, but it's great to regular.
Yeah, person. That's way taller than normal humans.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit more, Tina, about dick pics.
Oh, great.
About...
You ever gotten a Somalian dick pic?
I haven't.
They have great cell reception.
For your info, I'm like, Rick, I've never sent dick pic. Okay, I take it back. I've sent dick pic to girls that asked for it.
Okay.
But I've never sent it.
I feel like that's the only way you should do that
is, should be the rule.
Consent.
Yeah. And that's what I said.
Unsolicited is really the problem here.
Yeah.
But have you ever asked for a dick pic?
Of course not. No. Okay.
No. And also, like, when somebody sends it, in my opinion, I don't actually know if it's yours. Like, your photo is not in the picture. How do I know?
Right. See, I think
interesting you say that.
If I was to do it, I would do it from the floor up. So that way they could see penis and little smile.
You know,
there's a reason why I probably never got around to sending them, because I don't think I'd be
good. Well, you didn't have a cell phone until 5 years ago.
That's also probably true.
You were married by then.
Interesting. One girl one time asked me to send her dick. We were talking. I sent it. She goes, "Is that really your dick?" And I was like, "Will you come over and see it?"
Nice.
You think I'm going to send you? Like, it's like, you're not man enough, you send another guy's dick pic. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean,
it's Los Angeles. I'm sure guys will do it.
Yeah.
I mean, guys that's not proud of their dick would do it, but.
Yeah, that's the move. I feel like if I was single and someone was like, "Send me a dick pic," I would have to send them a Somalian dick pic. And then they would obviously be like, I don't think that's your penis. And I'd be like, that's racist.
Well, right.
Come over and find out.
Yeah, come on. And then I'd give him his address.
Right. And then I'd do the job.
Yeah, you would handle business.
See? He's a hard worker.
He'd go pirate on that pussy.
I look out for you. You look out for me. I look out for you. You look out for
me. Smooth. All right.
Oh, my God. I have a question for Tina. Have you been at fault in any of the accidents that you were a part of?
I've been at fault in one of them.
Only one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Only one.
So I've been in a couple cars. I got hit by like a paraplegic driver one time with like the mini wheel.
Really?
Because he couldn't turn his head to see who was next to him on the freeway.
Oh, my.
But I ended up getting a pretty good amount of money from the insurance.
Nice.
But not as good as it could have been, because it doesn't matter.
I got like $500 in PTSD, so it really was not worth it.
I, after that, was like so terrified of driving. But like my other question was, did you crawl as a baby? Or did you just go straight to walking? Do you know?
I don't know. But, yeah, the only things I really know about myself as a baby, like a little kid, was that the first ponytail I had, I cut it off and then just kept cutting my hair off, like shorter than Rick's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And that as soon as I could talk, I told everyone, I, Tina, not Christina.
Oh.
So those are really the only things I know about myself.
I love that.
At a
very
young age.
Independent. Mm-hmm. I asked because when you don't crawl and you are clumsier.
Oh,
so
never learned balance.
Well, it takes right brain, left brain, a lot of work. Like for crawling, the longer a baby crawls, the better they are at coordination and the less clumsy they are because it for your brain to figure out your left hand goes forward and your right knee goes forward and then vice versa constantly. It takes a lot of brain. So like whenever I see people who like fall or trip, I'm like, oh,
I literally gave myself a concussion a month ago. I'm not kidding.
Can I be a little racist?
Sure.
Yeah.
And can I be Joe Rogan? He's not racist.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Oh, no.
That was very good. Like, Neil tries, and I'm going to be Joe Rogan right now. I think the whites, you guys whites, you guys are.
We're all white.
Yeah.
You guys are more clumsier.
She's part Greek. It's borderline.
Yeah. But you too, for sure.
Yeah.
The whites.
Well, the Greeks are very clumsy. They break plates all the time.
Yeah. I think whites are more clumsy than darker melanin people.
Yeah.
And also, this could be any color. If you play sports, you're more coordinated than non-playing sports
but
person.
But in order to get into sports and become good at sports, you have to be coordinated.
No, but you
like,
can learn.
I'm terribly coordinated now.
You were what?
I was good at sports growing
whites,
up.
Whites, again. I'm just
whites. Listen, I don't believe that it's racist to say anything about whites.
What do you say nowadays? You can't say blacks. You can't say whites.
You can say whites.
Okay, yeah. So I'm not racist.
You can still say that. That's fine. Yeah. You can even say a white. Yeah. I talk about it on stage sometimes. You can't say anything else. The only demographic left you can say that is whites.
But if you do want like some like edge to you, you can say you're from the Swedish hood. And everyone will just think that's white.
Yeah. They'll be
they won't know it's black people.
Yeah. I feel like
Somali.
If someone would have told me the Swedish hood,
I'm like, yes, I am.
I would have assumed a very pale person, but with dark hair. That's why I've been like, that's got to be what the hood is like in Sweden.
Yeah.
But they still got that same Schmirgen Giergen.
Yeah. And they use knives mostly.
Old school.
You know?
I only know Swedish words from IKEA.
Smart.
Right?
All the Swedish I know is from the Swedish chef on the Muppets.
Right.
That's pretty much how I know everything. And again, my grandma
we got
was
Volvo.
Swedish. But
Volvo Swedish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, IKEA is pretty big, even though we don't like it.
You don't like it?
I mean, in living in America, I'd rather have a fat, cushy couch than a skinny Swedish couch.
Sure.
Because now I experience the American luxury, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Even our couches
six,
are fatter.
As a 6'3 Somali Swedish guy, you can fit on an IKEA couch.
Not anymore.
None
and
more.
I hate it.
Yeah.
That's for the uncle that no one likes, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Put him on the IKEA couch.
I wish.
All right. This is great. What a good episode.
Yeah, thank you guys
Very
for being
fun
on. We appreciate
to
it.
To have people both who went to rival schools in Washington.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah, who would have known?
Unbelievable.
Huskies.
I don't respect any college in the Pac-12. I just want to put it out there.
So it was Pac-10 when I went. I would just like to state that.
Well, I respected it then. So. Yeah, so the addition of Colorado and Utah, is that who they added? Despicable.
Bullshit
is right. Yeah. Just stick to your fucking conferences, all right?
Those two sucks anyway.
Yeah. Always terrible. All right. Well, thanks for being on,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, thank
we
you guys so
it.
Much.
Thank
we really
and
appreciate
go
it.
Go see Dune. It's very important.
Go see Dune.
All right, thanks. See you guys next week.
If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please DM Ingram Pod on Twitter. That's IngraHam Pod on Twitter.
Goodbye to everyday people.
Special thanks to the Comedy Store and to Brian Rips for the dope-ass music.